Well, you know, when you go preaching somewhere else, you get kind of nervous, even if it's your home church. When I'm back in Mexico, I feel comfortable, I guess, because I know everybody and they know me. But the good thing is I'm not having to preach in Spanish, so I don't get too tongue-tied, I hope, in this evening. And before I became a missionary, I was able to be here as a church member for 5-6 years and working in the bus ministry and children's church and the Bible club. And sometimes I filled out, cleaned the church here. A couple of the guys would take a vacation, and Dr. Barber or Dr. Weaver come to me and, "Hey, you think you can fill in?" And my dad would let me off work. I could come here, and I thought, wow, what a blessing. I get to clean the church and get paid. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what a blessing. I was having a good time just to be able to clean the church. And it was just a real blessing. And so I have a lot of great memories here at church and being here at Worth. And I remember one time went out soul winning with Dr. Weaver and was knocking on one door. I think he might have mentioned this. And the man answered the door, had a screen door in front of him. And we continued to talk with them. And he was a big, burly, mean-looking man, kind of like Brother Baldwin. But no, I'm teasing. No, I didn't mean that. He opened that screen door, and I was in front. Dr. Weaver was behind me, and I felt Dr. Weaver kind of nudge me forward. I was like, I thought you were my friend. But anyways, he didn't move no more than that, and so we just walked away. But it startled both of us at that time. But you get a lot of adventures when you go out knocking doors. I'm thankful that we're able to do that over there in San Miguel, and, talking to the people. They're very real religious, but they don't know the way of salvation. And at least most of the people that we talk to, they don't usually make a decision right then and there, but they're listening. And just like one brother that I met, he's been coming to our church, and he says, "I remember when someone was witnessing to me the gospel, and I thought what he was saying was good, but I just didn't think that was for me. But in time, God worked in his heart, and he got saved." And so it's a blessing to be able to do that. And especially when I speak Spanish, I don't speak it perfectly, and I have the Spanish accent. And so if there's somebody, they speak English, or they want to speak English, they'll start talking in English. I say, that's fine, I'll talk English. It's a good open door to make a friend and someone that wants to talk to you. "Hey, I've been to the States so many years, and I learned." "Oh, okay." And so we carry on. Then it opens the door to be able to present the gospel to them. And so there's just great opportunities there to be able to serve the Lord. And we're thankful for the church that you all came. And anybody else who want to come visit, we'd be happy to host you and show you the ministry and show you around. A lot of history in Mexico there in the state of Guanajuato, and it'd be a great blessing if you ever want to come by to visit as a family and to be able to come. A deacon one time started teaching his Sunday school class, the third and fourth graders. He's going to begin his lesson on teaching on stealing. And he asked the children, "Children, who among you know where the children go who steal money from their parents?" And one of the boys raised his hand. I know. The deacon replied, "Let's see, where do the children go when they steal from their parents?" The little boy said, "They go to the circus, to the candy store, and the toy store." Oh, the Sunday school teacher thought, "Oh no, I know where I need to begin with this lesson." I don't think the message tonight, I have to really begin much, but it's just a typical message, but I pray it'll be a blessing. If you can turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We're going to read a verse here, and we'll have a prayer and look at another verse, and then we'll look here into the message. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We'll read this familiar verse. Tell us you can say it by memory. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And if you can, let's all read this out loud together. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." One more time. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your provision. thank you for everybody that's come, Lord. Did you protect them throughout the day at work or in the home or going about here and there, Lord? You've brought us here to this moment. And I just pray that you just help us to see you once again in this service by faith. And just ask that you would help me to speak well for thee. In Christ's name, amen. Do you see what I see? This is the title of this message. Do you see what I see? What is faith? Right here, Apostle Paul is telling the folks here at Rome that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And thank God for sign language. Those that can't hear physically, was that they can communicate, and they can tell them what the Bible says if they're not able to read in that aspect. But here we see the principle of God's word, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is faith? Well, God gave us that definition. Hold your place here in Romans 10, and let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, another familiar passage of scripture. Hebrews 11, 1. We see the definition of faith, and we have all the accounts of the Old Testament, people of faith here. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith, what is it, Lord? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then faith is something that we cannot see, but we trust in God for what he has said. You know, as people, we're people of sight. Humanly speaking, with our eyes, we see things, colors, shapes, people, places, creation. We're people of sight. God made us that way. Let me ask you this question. Are you afraid of a lion? Are you afraid of a lion? Because you know why? Most of us would probably say, well, I'm not afraid of a lion right now. But if a lion was in front of me, I think I would be very scared of a lion. Why is that? Because we know what a lion can do. Lions can eat people, okay? So, well, that gives us a very good reason to be afraid of a lion. And we know a lion can attack us if it was right in front of us. Probably before I used that illustration, you probably weren't thinking about a lion. Why is that? Because you don't see a lion, right? And so tonight, we don't see a lion, so there's no reason to be scared. And that's a good reason for some of us. You can just go ahead and keep sleeping. No, I'm just joking. No, I know you're awake. No, as Christians, we don't see God. And so it's easy not to fear God because we don't see him, because we're people of sight. But when we hear the word of God, it will bring faith to fear and love God. God who we cannot see. And tonight I just want to share some things from my heart, more or less, as far as preaching a message. I had two messages, and then when the men came up and said, hey, what's your title and what's the message? Well, I guess I got to pick the message right now. So I thought I was going to have time, but no, it's okay. I felt that this is probably the message I could share to be a blessing to you folks tonight. But here in Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And what do we need to hear? The word of God. What a blessing that we have the word of God and before us. There's many people in the world that don't have a Bible, not even a verse in their language. There's many indigenous groups in Mexico alone that still do not have a Bible in their language and in other parts of the world. And what a great mission field there is still waiting for people that to have the word of God. And so praise God, by the grace tonight we can look here and we can understand that the Bible says to receive faith, we need to hear the word of God. You know, I'm glad that one day I heard the word of God in my life to be saved. And the Bible says that salvation by faith comes through Jesus Christ. And I heard it as a child. And one Sunday, mid-afternoon, I responded to an invitation as a young boy. And one of the men in the church took me aside and shared me from the Bible how to be saved. And I got saved back in 1980. I got saved and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And it's a day I just can't forget. It's a day I'll never forget because the Lord keeps bringing that to my heart and mind. And I'm so glad that I heard the word of God to be saved. You know, that's what people need to hear. And I know that's the same for you when you got saved, because you heard what the word of God says. You received that faith through the Holy Spirit because you heard the word of God. And I'm so glad that Jesus saves. And he saves us, and we're able to tell the folks over there in Mexico and wherever we can support missionaries to tell people about Jesus Christ, that we have a hope in our life in this time. You know, also through faith, I come to understand that the Lord wanted me to be baptized. A few years later, after I got saved, I got baptized. I remember my dad getting me ready to get baptized, and I remember going into the water and the pastor saying, so you've been saved, accepted Christ, nodding my head, and I went under, and I remember getting baptized, and what a blessing that was, as I think about it, that I heard what God's word wanted from me, what God wanted from me, you know, but he spoke to me through his word, and I realized that what baptism is. And what God wanted me to do. And if you're here tonight and you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized, God wants you to follow him in believer's baptism. You know, as I begin to get older and I begin to see the need to, as a teenager, to read the Bible and to pray, you know, on a regular basis or throughout the week. I remember one time being in a church camp back in 1992 and over in New Mexico area, around Albuquerque, around that area, and the Lord touched my heart on some things, and as well as some of the other people in the youth group, and I remember just getting right with the Lord that summer, and by way of a friend, I was encouraged to read my Bible, and I believe I was around 16 years old, and I began to see the need that, yeah, that's right, I need to read more of God's Word. Why? So I can receive that faith that I needed for my life. And I began to pray. Whether it was just 5 minutes before I went to school, there in high school, I realized, hey, I wanted to take a little time to spend with the Lord. And I'm so thankful through the years he began to teach me the importance of walking with him and reading God's word and praying. But, you know, I only came to that conclusion because the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, because I heard what God's word says. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm so thankful that through that my relationship began to grow in the Lord, and I began to see the need to witness to others. Whether it was friends in my school or maybe it was my relatives, I began to witness. And I remember one time bringing some three friends from school, and I brought them to the church because we had friend day, and I didn't lead them to the Lord, but when they came to the service, two of them went forward and they wanted to get saved, and I was so happy and thankful. And then one of the guys, he didn't get saved, but a couple of weeks later he was asking me about it, and then I was able to lead him to the Lord. And I just thank the Lord how he worked through that, and I begin to see that, yeah, I need to tell others about Christ, because if they're not saved, they'll go to hell forever. And I realize God can use me to do that, and he can use you as well. Whether it's through our voice or through our testimony or through our giving, we can all give to others, can testify the name of Christ ourselves and as well as others. You know, God's word helps us that we might understand. And I begin to see also, when I heard God's word, to serve God. I begin to see the need to serve God. You know, whether it's serving God in the house where I grew up, where my parents live, and serving them, serving the church, I begin to see that God wanted me to be a part of his work here in the local church. And I begin to see this myself wanting to get involved in what God wanted me to do. Because I would hear preachers preach, and or teachers teach, and through that, God would speak to my heart, and I would say, I want that. I want to do that. Nowadays, most congregation people just question everything the pastor says. But we need to believe. If it's written in the Word, we need to believe and act upon it. And just do it, because it's what God says. It's what God wants us to do. But we should hear. And through that hearing of God's Word, we can serve Him. I remember one time in seventh grade, a Sunday school teacher, he said, take your Bibles and I want to show you how to lead someone to Christ. And he took that Romans road and he said, go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and right there, Romans 6, 23. And when you're witnessing to someone, you can know what verse to go to, you know. And so I did that as a seventh grader, and I was just writing in there and highlighted there in my little Bible there. And I was thankful, you know, when I look back, that someone had faith to know that, hey, these teenagers can understand God's Word and can lead somebody to Christ. And because I took it in and I wanted to do that. That's when I began to witness to my cousins. And again, as I mentioned later in school, that we need to hear the basics of God's Word so we can apply into our lives. We need to just preach and teach what God's Word says. Many times today, we know that many churches, they don't want to teach and preach the Bible. And the people, they don't know. It's not that because they don't want it. It's because preachers aren't preaching. They're not teaching how to lead someone to Christ. It's only how to have peace, and all that has its place. But we need to remember why we're here, to win souls and to be a witness for our Lord, and to others to come to know Christ as Savior. You know, this is what God wants from us. But, you know, I know as you come to church and you hear the Sunday school lessons and the messages, and it's a good thing. Because it's through that you and I, we hear the Word of God. And through that, the Spirit of God touches our lives. You know, I remember being younger and hearing preachers preach about we need to live a holy life and live right for God. And I thought, how can I be holy? I knew I wasn't holy. And I knew I was a sinner, but I began to understand that, oh, I can't live a holy life like Jesus, but I should have a desire to do what is right, you know. And when I sin, to get it right with God right then and there, whether it's a thought or a word or action. And so I begin to understand more of that in time. And you know how sometimes your thoughts just kind of go and you hear something, it's not like it's an intention on the pastor or the teacher, but it's just, you know, you take it in, but then later the Spirit of God gives the direction and He helps us to understand. And I begin to understand God wants us to live a holy life, a life that would honor Him, that we would have a desire to live our best for His honor, for His glory. Also, I learned by hearing the Word of God that God tells us in His Word that He wants us to love and forgive others. Jesus speaks of forgiveness. You know, that's not always easy, you know, to forgive when someone's done you wrong. Sometimes you might have to do it over and over. Say, God, I forgive this person. Please help me. And you know how the devil wants to fight, and he wants us to be non-forgiving, non-loving. And naturally, we don't want to love. You know, naturally, we don't want to forgive. Remember, we're people of sight. But we have to live by faith. That's what God wants us to do. But by the grace of God, we can love and forgive others with His help. Why? Because we hear from the Word of God what He wants from us. Also, when I read the Word of God, many times I see the people of God trusting God. Trusting God when they're in a trial or hard time. Many times, as I recall, the psalmist, he says, Lord, where are you? Are you far? Where's your goodness? Where's your mercy? As if God had left him. Maybe you've felt or thought that way. And I think that is pretty natural in our human body because we're sinners. And the psalmist wrote about it. And he talked about how he felt God had left him. And I remember the writings of Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India. She said, I know there are times in my life where I can't feel God or sense God, but I know he's with me and I know he's loving me. By faith, she claimed that. Because we're people of feeling, we're people of thought, and naturally, no? But as the Spirit of God lives in us, he tells us to trust in the Heavenly Father, that we must trust through him through the trial. And Jesus said that we would have many trials, but that he would see us through. And sometimes we want God to take away the trial. Oh, that would be great. But God at times says, I won't take it, but I'll see you through it. And he gives us the grace. And I quote something from my mind, but it's not my words, but I quote, someone said, the thorn of one can be a rose for another. The thorn of one person can be a rose for another. We know Apostle Paul spoke of a thorn that he had. We don't know necessarily. Some say it might have been his side or some sort, because he spoke of that in another passage. But he had a thorn. And, you know, folks, sometimes we have thorns in our lives through trials. But, you know, if we trust in God through that, hard time, that thorn that is very uncomfortable, that thorn that bothers us day and night, that thorn that pokes at us is very uncomfortable. But if we trust in the Lord and wait on him and his timing, our thorn can be a rose for someone else. Because we can say, I know what you're talking about. I understand. I've been there. Or I had something similar to that. And we can help. And it gives comfort. Because, you know, when you're going through a trial, sometimes you feel like you're the only one that's ever had this problem or situation. But no, there are others. The Apostle Peter mentioned that there are many have suffered what we have suffered. I don't know by memory, but he spoke in the book of Peter that many have passed the way that we have passed. And so let your trial be a rose for someone else. A rose smells good. No, a rose looks beautiful. A rose is something very special. And God can use your trial to be special for someone else. And we know that Jesus, you know, he took the crown of thorns for us. And he suffered the sin for us. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he never sinned, but he was tempted with sin. And he understands what it is to be alone. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, and he went back and his disciples, they were sleeping. And three times he went to look for them. I've heard commentaries say that he was looking for a human comfort, someone that he could touch and see. And he went back and prayed that same prayer three times. You ever prayed a prayer, the same thing? Sometimes all I can say, Lord, help me. That's all I can say. Lord, help me. Jesus knows. He knows what we go through. I'm so glad that I heard the word of God. The Bible tells me to love Jesus. Love the Lord Jesus. He's so precious. We're people of sight. We see. We love our spouse or we love our family members. We give a hug. But we can't see Jesus. But we love him because the Spirit of God touches our hearts and takes us to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you didn't grow up in a Christian home. But you know, you can start where you are and make it different for your family. Make it different for your children. Make it different for your grandchildren. We want to make it different for those kids there in that community. All they've known is religion, 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 religion. And we hope that God can break that pattern and someone from there can be a Christian and start a Christian home and go to a good Bible church so that they can have many generations to know the Lord. We cannot see God, but we can see Him by faith through the Word of God. And Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And we will see Jesus one day, and we will see God face to face. Do you see what I see? By faith. Do you see what I see? By faith. Let's pray. If you can stand to your feet. You know, as normal, we'll have a time of invitation. And as the Lord leads you in this night, this evening, do you see what I see? Not by sight, but by faith. By faith, applying God's word into your life. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mom and dad, keep taking those kids to church. Grandma and grandpa, keep taking those grandchildren. Or keep talking to them about the Lord, that they might hear, and then they might come to understand. Keep being a witness to your friend or neighbor or relative. You don't have to always preach to them on the and up front, but just as witness to them and just let the Lord lead and let Him do the work. We can't do it, but He can. I remember hearing a song growing up on the radio saying, He's still working on me. He made the moon and the stars. It took Him a week to make the moon and the stars, but He's still working on me. We all have a construction sign around our neck spiritually. God is still working on me. Are you letting Him work on you? Or have you stopped allowing Him to work on you? Let Him do His work. He knows what's best for us. I think all of us here are under construction. But let God take everything in control, because He's the best builder. We're praying in our places, and I'd like to hand it over to Pastor.